You know, President Trump says this used to be a hell of a good country. But globalization is part of what's gone wrong with it.
He says companies like Harley-Davidson got chicken, man. That's what happened. Moving production overseas to make second-rate motorcycles, you dig? But Harley thinks the president's tariffs will cut their profits, man. But do riders care, man?
They don't care much about tariffs. They care about what Harleys represent to them.
Hey, man, doesn't Harley represent an American company making job cuts?
Oh, no. What Harley represents to them is freedom.
So we're doing a podcast about freedom, man? That's what it's all about.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's what this podcast is all about, all right? But talking about freedom gets complicated when you're talking about the politics of products bought and sold in the global marketplace.
Well, it's either that or talking to bullfrogs in the middle of the night, so let's do it. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, let's talk about the politics of Harley-Davidson. Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way. So that, of course, is the Steppenwolf 1968 rock and roll classic, Born to Be Wild, which we're using here because it's also the opening credits song to the film classic Easy Rider, which we just bastardized there, where Jack Nicholson and Dennis Hopper there talking about freedom. And we're using that to talk about Harley-Davidson and how Harley-Davidson represents freedom to some people that Laurel talked to this week. So we'll get there, but Sean Johnson is not with us, obviously. He wasn't the Henry Fonda character who was just sitting there like idly by tending the campfire in that scene. He's in Canada right now, I think, at this point.
Yep,
he and his family are
in
Niagara Falls doing a whole thing.
Yeah. We miss you, Sean. You're metaphorically here sitting at our campfire, stoking the flames. I don't know. You're the, who is it? Peter Fonda?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sean's like the...
He's the tall one.
Yeah, off to the
side. He wears sunglasses.
Just, yeah.
He'd have the Captain America motorcycle.
Just observing, he would.
So just generally to start, do we want to go through the whole paint a sound picture here about Harley-Davidson and President Trump and Scott Walker and the politics of tariffs and motorcycle boycotts and an American institution?
That's nothing. That's easy peasy. Yeah, not complicated at all. So basically what's been going on between the president and Harley and Scott Walker and other Republican politicians in Wisconsin, this all started in June, as you might remember. The president announced some tariffs on imported steel and aluminum. And people were like, oh, wow, this is going to affect some businesses more than others, Harley-Davidson being one of those because they use those products to make their motorcycles. But there was an extra twist after, there was kind of back and forth about this. The EU said, we're going to impose some retaliatory tariffs in response to your tariffs on foreign steel and aluminum. And we are going to target things like Harley-Davidson motorcycles. So Harley was kind of like, oh, geez, this is really, really bad for us.
This is going to make our bikes cost more to people, but we can do something, which is what?
Which is move some jobs overseas. So basically, Harley says that this the tariffs on sending their bikes to Europe are going to cost consumers about $2,200 a bike. And they decided that rather than charge people more for their bikes in Europe, they were just going to eat that cost. So it's going to cost them about $100 million a year, they say. And so they are going to start shifting production overseas, because if they build some of these bikes overseas, they're not going to have to pay that extra money, right? They won't have to eat that $100 million a year, roughly. And this, of course, is not something that President Trump was super psyched about when Harley made that announcement in late June.
Because one of the big things that he's into is keeping and creating more jobs in America, not overseas. And Harley-Davidson being a pretty iconic American company, even though, I mean, they already have, you know, some production overseas, it's against sort of President Trump's messaging and ethos to see a company moving jobs elsewhere.
Right.
He's not happy about it.
He's not happy about it. And so he took to Twitter and he tweeted that some Harley-Davidson riders were contemplating a boycott of the company because of them moving some jobs overseas. And he supported that. He said that that's great. So this put Republican politicians in Wisconsin in kind of a tough place, right? Like Scott Walker, the Republicans that were running for U.S. Senate at the time. This was, of course, before the fall primary. So we had both Leah Vukmir and Kevin Nicholson. And all of these people in an election year, particularly before the primaries, are really trying to align themselves with President Trump, right? He's popular mm-hmm. among Republicans. And so they didn't want to criticize President Trump saying, hey, a boycott of Harley is a good thing. But, of course, Harley's a Wisconsin company.
Yeah, and it's so, especially, it's part of Scott Walker's brand,
it
definitely.
Is,
his
yeah.
campaign re-announcement ad featured him prominently riding a Harley.
Mm-hmm. He's talked about his Harley fandom. I don't know. Harley, what do you call it?
Appreciation.
Appreciation, yeah. Quite a lot. It's like part of his brand, as you said. So he's kind of in a difficult place where the president's kind of going up against Harley. What side do you pick? The president of the United States or this company that's part of your political brand and also a major employer in your state? So what happened there was there was kind of this 24-hour period between when that tweet was released and when reporters could get the governor to go on the record and say, well, of course, I don't support a boycott of Harley-Davidson. I don't mm-hmm. support what the president is pushing there. You know, and maybe he was busy. Maybe we just couldn't get a hold of him, you know. But I think something was made of the fact that it took a little while to get him on the record saying he didn't support that boycott. So that's kind of the tapestry, if mm-hmm. you will.
You wove that well.
Thank you. Yeah, going back to late June.
So why are we talking about this now?
So now is a very important time for Harley riders across the country and the world, really. As I'm sure you know, it's like Christmas for Harley riders.
I didn't know.
Well, you know, if you notice more bikes on the road in Wisconsin right now, it is because Harley riders from all over are converging on Milwaukee for the 115th anniversary of the company.
Mm-hmm.
The party started the middle of this week and is going all through the weekend. They're having just huge like contests and, you know, parades and parties and all sorts of things.
Wheelies? Can you do a wheelie on a Harley?
Wheelies galore, I think so. I mean, you could do a wheelie on anything that's two-wheeled.
I guess. I've never ridden a Harley. Full disclosure here, guys.
Did I detect like a note of shame? Like,
yeah. I mean, but I picture them as like the really big, heavy, you know, like Harley bikes with the big old gas tank up front and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like it might
be
hard to like get it to do a wheelie. But I digress.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good question. If you've ever ridden a Harley and done a wheelie, let us know. There are such a variety of Harleys, though, but I'm getting ahead of myself because I was going to talk about the parade of Harleys that I saw mm-hmm. when I was in Milwaukee.
It's Harley
yesterday.
Party time.
Harley party time.
And so you decided to cover Harley party time.
Yeah. I mean, how could you resist? So actually, NPR asked me to go. But I was very happy to go because I've never been to a global Harley-Davidson party before. And I was like, this is going to be great. The reason NPR was interested is because, of course, they want to know, like, what Harley consumers are thinking about all of this sort of crazy political back and forth. They have been such a focus of the president's trade story. I mean, they are a company that's so uniquely affected in that the tariffs on imported goods affect them, the steel. And they're having, you know, their companies affected by the retaliatory tariffs as well. They've gotten direct attention from the president.
I was going to say, it's like it's not just that they're like uniquely affected business wise, but mm-hmm. President Trump has picked them out multiple times mm-hmm. to be like the target of his ire about
right.
this. Harley, Trump not mixing well, not getting along very good at the moment.
Not happy. And it's so interesting because the president has he's kind of said that this is part of his base, mm-hmm. motorcycle riders, but now he's going up against the company in a really public way. And so I think what NPR was interested in was going into this community of Harley riders and saying, like, hey, the president has said that Harley riders or motorcycle riders are people that have supported him. He's having this kind of high profile dust up with the company that you all are really passionate about. Like, where do you fall on this? What do you think about how Harley's responding to the tariffs and how the president's relating to them, and just kind of getting that that vibe, if you will.
So what was the vibe of the Harley riding folks that you talked to?
So it was really interesting. You never really know when you go into these situations, when you're just kind of asking a variety of people what their opinions are, whether you're going to kind of come up with a trend or if everybody's going to be just kind of all over the place. But what I found for the most part was that people were pretty consistent in their defense of the company.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people said, you know, I'm not thrilled that Harley is sending jobs overseas, but it's the reality of business. They're just trying to survive, and they've got to do what they've got to do, and I'm going to continue to support them.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely weren't on the same page as the president in terms of
Harley sucks.
Right, right. Which is, you know, perhaps a bit predictable if they're, you know, if they've traveled for this party for Harley, that they're not going to be like, yeah, these guys are the worst. But they were reticent to really criticize the company moving jobs out of America. But it was interesting because I also asked them, like, Harley is such an iconic American brand, and how important is it to you that the bikes are made in America and that that continues to be the case, because that's something that's so strongly associated with Harley, you know, the eagles and the flags and all of that. That's a big part of their branding. And everybody said that that is one of the reasons that they love Harley so much is that it's, you know, made in America. And I found people to be pretty well versed about kind of the ins and outs of the tariff situation and Harley's business response to it. They said that the way that they understand it, bikes that are sold in America will still be assembled in America. The manufacturing facilities that are going to be established overseas are for overseas customers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, well, as long as the bikes that I'm buying in the U.S. are still made in the U.S., it's cool with me.
Then it's cool if European riders get bikes that are made in Thailand or other places.
Right.
And what was interesting to me, though, when I read some of your script of the story you're doing for NPR, is that you also asked people about what their opinion of Donald Trump's trade policies have been. You know, what do they think of the tariffs he's enacting and his strategy there?
Yeah, so I talked to one guy in particular who really articulated, I think, the primary talking point in favor of the president's tariffs, which is that they're difficult right now. They're going to, I think the word he used was sting. They're going to sting at the moment. But what's going to happen in the long run is that it's going to promote more fairness between the U.S. and other countries, and that other countries have had pretty unfair trade practices, and that this step needs to be taken, as difficult as it might be, to sort of level the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people have said when they support the tariffs. But yeah, they were, I was like very impressed, because sometimes when you go and just interview regular people about their opinions on political issues, especially if you get into like wonkier things about trade, they'll be kind of like, oh, yeah, I've heard about that, but I don't know the specifics. I felt like Harley riders were like, oh, yes, and I heard that they were going to absorb the cost of shifting, you know, of the tariffs to Europe and so on and so forth. So this is something that definitely they have keyed into and paid attention to as the company that they're so proud to associate with has made headlines in recent months.
And did most of the people that you talked to, were most of them Trump supporters in general?
Yeah, I think that there was a strong contingent of people who support the president. It was interesting to me, though, because they had a departure, even though they said that they support him in general, and they were able to articulate kind of the overall goal of the tariffs. They didn't really want him to dictate their personal hobbies, if you will. So what I'm trying to say.
Are you just trying to set up the tape from Bonehead?
Yes, he was one of my favorite interviews. So when I first started interviews, I'm always like, "Oh, can you tell me your name and where you're from?" And this gentleman was like, "Bonehead," and I was like, "Can I get your real name?" And he was like, "Was it Kyle or something? Kevin?" I don't remember. It wasn't Bonehead.
We can roll tape here at some point.
Mike Kaiser goes by the name Bonehead with his buddies. He says the president needs to stay out of it.
He doesn't tell me what shoes to wear. He doesn't tell me what pants to wear. He doesn't tell me what motorcycle to buy. He's the president. That's his job. Be president.
What I was trying to get to in that my roundabout way is that a lot of people were able to articulate why they understand Trump's tariff policy, his trade policy. But they don't want the president telling them that they need to boycott Harley.
Mm-hmm.
There was such a tone change between asking people about the tariffs and trade policy and kind of the pros and cons and how they react to Harley, and then asking them about the president's boycott.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not the president's boycott, but it's the boycott that the president has said he supports and thinks is a great idea. They felt more understanding of the president and more supportive. And then I said, but hey, what do you think about him saying people should boycott Harley because of all of this? Multiple people sort of scoffed or sniffed. And
they sniffed. They're like,
no,
you know
it was
what?
The
no, that's
the,
that's a bridge too far.
You know what I mean? It's like the scoffy sniff, like, well, they didn't snort, but I'm prone to snorting. So, but they, you know, they did the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, definitely don't cut that. They were like, the president needs to mind his own business, right? They were, one guy said, it doesn't make any sense to me why we would boycott Harley, but a lot of things that the president says don't make any sense to me. It was such a turn from how they talked about trade to how they talked about the boycott.
And just like we were talking about in our terrible rendition of Easy Rider, which features two prominent Harley Davidsons, but like you, they were talking about freedom in that scene from the movie, and you got people who were talking about how Harley Davidson as a brand, as a lifestyle, mm-hmm. means freedom to them, right, mm-hmm. essentially?
For sure. That was kind of a primary theme of my interviews with people. You know, I started off the interview by saying,
do you like freedom?
Right. How do you feel about freedom, first of all? No, I said, like, what do you like about Harley? Like, why are you here? Why do you associate so strongly with this brand? And everybody said that there's just kind of this personality trait that Harley riders have in common. And it's this joy that they feel and the freedom that you feel by being on a bike and being able to go out and sort of explore. And you have this kinship with other people. And I actually found that, you know, maybe that's kind of predictable, right? People at a gathering for this brand say that it's meaningful to them and it kind of brings them together with a community. But it really fit in with the dialogue about trade in kind of an unexpected mm-hmm. way for me. So people were talking about this community. And as they were talking about that, they said, I have ridden with people from all over the country and all over the world. And these two guys from, I think they were from Texas. It was Texas or Arizona. And they said, you know, we've ridden with people from Brazil. We've ridden with people from Thailand. And we love how it's a global thing. And so I said, well, you know, kind of this trade dispute is about the price of Harleys overseas for people, that price going up. And so Harley shifting production over there to kind of counter that price increase for markets overseas. And some people, you know, kind of latched onto that idea and were like, we want people to be able to have access to them over there in the same way that we do here. And we want it to be accessible for people. And I was surprised that there really was a global presence in Milwaukee at this event. I talked to this mm-hmm. guy from the Czech Republic, who had he said it was his dream to come to one of these Harley events. I guess they have them every 5 years. And he'd been riding Harley since he was like 18 in Europe. And his perspective on it was pretty cool because obviously he's one of the people that would be affected by the retaliatory tariffs and bikes costing a bit more over there. And he said that his preference, his name is Martin, his preference would be that all Harleys were made in the United States, even if they cost more, because he sees it, as many do, as kind of this iconic American brand. And he said part of the mystique and part of the reason that he loves Harleys is because they are so associated with the United States, and it would be worth it to him to actually pay more and know that they were all made in the U.S.
So my question there is, how did Martin get his Harley from the Czech Republic to Milwaukee for the Harley party?
You know, I didn't interview Martin while he was on his motorcycle. He was at a picnic table.
Did he just get a loaner, or did he like, did he check it in the airplane?
I mean,
can it fit in an overhead bin?
Can you come to a Harley party without bringing your Harley? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe your Harley friends have one you can borrow.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's likely because, you know, the Harley community is very supportive of other Harley riders. My guess is Martin did not bring his bike from the Czech Republic. Maybe he'll go home with a new one.
There you go. That could be it.
But, yeah, I should have asked.
Well, too late. Laurel White is WPR's Capitol reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
Born to be wild.
Get your motor running and head out on the information superhighway to subscribe for new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast on iTunes. You can also find it on Google Play and Stitcher, as well as many other podcast apps. And you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime, anywhere life takes you at wpr.org/politics.